You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache?
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to My Sexy Podcast. How do you know it's true? Well, I just told you, silly. Go back and record another opening, thinking, oh, that's not a smooth, comfortable way to open. Oh, that was a little forced. Oh, she's trying too hard. Not me. I show you my tits on this podcast time and time again. And if you don't see them, you ain't looking hard enough. Guys, my guest today is a wonderful lady. She is a hilarious comic. Also, very, you know, like a woman who knows business and does producing very well. She has been hosting a show at UCB called If You Build It every Sunday for long times, many times. She's not allowed to talk yet because I'm building her up. All right, you've seen her on Comedy Central. You've seen her on Spike TV. Ladies and gentlemen, also hosting a show called The Business at the Stand. Put your hands together for Kara Kleck.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes.
The crowd, the overwhelming clapping is... really, you guys, stop. Come on, quiet down. Podcast.
Our audience today is paralyzed.
Shh.
And...
oh, I guess I shouldn't have been joking then. I'm sorry, you guys.
You guys, every single stare counts, and I appreciate it.
Oh.
I'm pandering to them.
That guy, they're blinking. You're basically getting a standing ovation for a paralyzed crowd.
Oh, my God. This is so perfectly... politically correct already.
Yeah, kicking it off with some PC.
Kara, yo... you been on the road?
Yeah, yo. I've
been making
I've
eye
been
contact
traveling.
With you. I don't know why. I've been shy to make eye contact. She's got a top bun. She's already a little bit taller than me, and she's taking status in the conversation with height.
Oh. We're both sitting, though, so I feel like we're pretty equal.
We're equal. I'm okay. Ready to face you.
Okay, great.
Number one, are you my friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
Number two, you've never listened to this podcast. You're not aware that this is just me asking you various times what you think about me.
Oh, no. But that's not like anything on you. I need to start getting more into podcasts. I just, some of them are so long and I don't really have a long commute. Like I do my work from home.
I think it's great for commuters. And also, here are my favorite podcasts. My Sexy Podcast, number one. Number two, I really like the Jillian Michaels podcast.
Oh, interesting. Is it about health and wellness and stuff?
It's like church for lesbians.
Oh, cool,
she's like,
cool, cool.
She's like a business lady. She's got her life together. She's married to a lady.
A
she's got some kids. She also keeps on investing in businesses. And then she like right off the top talks about something vulnerable in her life.
I heard she was in trouble. I heard she was like getting sued or something.
Yeah, she's always getting sued.
Yeah.
So you just listen to keep track of her lawsuits.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a... fascinating podcast.
Yeah, if only I could get sued, maybe I'd get some more listeners. I think it's the number one podcast in the world.
Really?
Maybe.
Is that possible?
Right after this podcast.
Oh, cool.
So, Kate, you were traveling and then about to tell me about it, and then I said something about your hair that...
No. I travel...
your hair!
I travel sometimes for comedy with my boyfriend / fiance, which is the worst word.
It is the worst word.
Ugh, I'm like, so I just want to get married so we can stop saying it.
And then do you have like a bit about how you hate saying fiance?
Kind of. I just kind of say it on stage and then I meet like motion barfing and then everybody kind of gets it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like kind of a killer bit.
It's just, it murders. It's just not in our palate. It's like making a word that everybody, I mean, like a celebratory word that has so many.
Yeah, I just don't
accents.
Get why we don't have an English word for it. Like, that's a French word. Why are we.
Fiance.
Yeah, I just say betrothed.
Betrothed
then that also
sounds like he's
like,
dying.
Yeah, or like we were forced together through an arranged marriage.
Yes.
Right?
Since which is
we
kind
were,
of true.
Since we were toddlers.
It's
which is
comedy
true.
Is arranged marriage.
Which is true. The Logan clan of West Virginia.
You are engaged to a comic, Jared Logan, very funny mm-hmm. couple. I always, growing up, I started doing stand-up young, and like one big lesson that I gleaned was like, never date a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Never.
But I never dated one before, and I will never date one again. He's the only one.
Yeah, but how do you guys make it work?
Well, he always says, which I think is like accurate. It's like it creates and solves a lot of problems. You know, like I'm never like, where are you? And like, what, you know, how come you're out all the time doing comedy? Because like we're always like we're together a lot. But then, you know, there's other
where
stuff.
Where are you?
Like,
here, bitch.
I'm here. We're right at a show here. Together. What are you talking about? But then, you know, there's other problems. We get along like super great. And like we moved in together right as I lost a job. So like from the beginning of us living together, we've been like both home 24/7.
That's crazy.
Like not 24/7, but like, you know, working from home.
Do you give each other like you'll go to the coffee shop, he'll stay home?
Sometimes he goes to coffee shops. I like to work from home. And then, well, I mean, we do different stuff. We go to the gym at separate times. Like we're not like in each other's faces all the time. But then we go on the road for these long trips and we really get along. The only thing we really fight about is driving, which we're actually getting really much better at.
Because?
Because, like, we just have different styles of driving and we're trying to get to a point where we can realize.
Whose style sucks, Kara?
Jared's. Because I don't like to drive like a grandma and get places in 10 hours.
Oh, okay. So you're the one with
I'm
balls
like a more
and he's like,
driver.
Listen.
Yeah. And he's like, geez. Like, he thinks I'm like, you know, Mario Andretti or something. But we're getting better at that. So we're
That's
good.
And it also, you guys split driving, which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen like a lot of comedy couples get together and I'm like, this is going to be a disaster. But like, then I don't know. We just somehow have
because
the right.
Generally speaking, 99.9% of the time, would you agree that it doesn't make sense? Or is this is something that I'm kind of changing my mind about too.
Yeah.
I was just talking to these, you know, Lisa Traeger and Megan Gailey. So these are like two sassy young Chicago chicks.
They're great.
Single and about to bust out the
I know.
They're like, their enthusiasm for like comedy and life and just like where they're at in their life, which is just like they're single, they're living in a one bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
They're like waking up at 2 p.m. guilt free.
Dude, I just, so wish I was them. I was like day jobbing it when I was younger and like not really. I was day jobbing it for a lot of comedy, so I never really tried to hustle like that. And I think it's cool.
And so they're also like sleeping with comics and I mean, I don't think this is wrong that I said. They're making it look fun, and they're kind of it kind of is making me feel like it's a dated thing to say female comics like don't date male comics because
like just have a good head on your shoulders. It's like don't date a sociopath. Like there just happen to be a bunch of them in comedy, so watch out. Like there's good ones too. You know, there's plenty of good normal dudes doing comedy.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
love to say everyone doing comedy is a fucking psycho, but like they're not.
Yeah.
And so like there are, but I think I got a good one. I think there's good ones out there.
Yeah, you got a good one.
And I think those. I mean, I think also there's a difference like fucking and dating. Like fuck who you want. If you want to go into like a real relationship with a comedian, it's like you gotta take it day by day. It depends also on like the levels that you're at in comedy. Like we're not competitive with each other because he's been doing it so much longer than I have. He's obviously going to get different opportunities than I am. We have completely different styles.
I mean, I guess that is a thing though. I mean, that's a thing for in general. We can admit in this world where like things are like that, I'm doing this and this and this, that sometimes other people are at affects the way you judge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then does it, I guess maybe it becomes more of like a win for both of you when he gets something great.
Or I do too. Yeah, we try to treat it like that, you know.
Also, you are producing his web series.
I produced his web series, yeah.
It's
called Don't You Think.
Don't You Think,
which is a really hilarious. It's really hilarious.
Very, very funny.
And I just want everyone to understand it and know how funny it is because I feel like some people are like, what? And it's.
No,
they're
it's
just
the best.
Not picking up on it.
Because the concept is, you say it.
Well, the concept is, he based it off of like a bunch of status updates he wrote on Facebook, like these long-winded status updates that are kind of making fun of different aspects of the people that you see on Facebook that are just like, I don't know, desperate for attention or want to tell you about their views on gay marriage. You know, whatever. So kind of like the small-minded people that are on Facebook, and he kind of was parodying that, and then he hosts this show as just kind of like basically like your idiot uncle that thinks he's like right about everything and has like no idea like what's going on.
Yeah,
you know?
It's perfect. Check it out, guys. It's called Don't You Think?
On YouTube.
How long have you been doing stand-up in New York?
I've been doing.
Did you start here?
I started here. Okay. So I've been doing stand-up in New York for about 6 years.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And then did you figure out immediately I should be producing shows?
No, honestly, like another comedian asked me if I wanted to start running a show with him that he had already been running. That was If You Build It, actually. And it was in a basement at, I think you did it when it was in a basement of a hookah lounge.
Yep.
And
that place is so strange.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, also, if you want to reek of cigarette butts after the end of a night
karma.
Of comedy, that's karma. So when it was there, it was fun. It was every other week. And I ran it with a comedian, Rob O'Reilly, who moved to L.A.
Yeah.
And then when he left, I just kept going with it. And then I moved it in 2011 to the UCB East.
Yeah.
And so, well, no, 12, sorry. No, 11, because it'll be our third year there this September. Our third anniversary.
And then has this been your first time on the road? Because I've noticed you just came back. And
well, we just did like 5 days in New England, and then in May we did like a 3-week tour of the South, and that was the first time I'd done like such an extensive tour like that. I mean, I've gone to do festivals and tacked on other shows and done like other bits of road stuff. I've performed in, I would say, most of the major cities in the U.S., but going around to like smaller towns in the South was like really cool and something.
And
different.
Must be so fun to go with Jared.
Yeah,
like, with your dude.
Yeah. I mean,
that's where being in a relationship must be, and with another comic must be the best.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I would definitely hate for him to be gone. We've been apart for like long periods of time. You know, like this past pilot season, he was out in LA for 2 months. I couldn't go for those 2 months. So it's definitely better when we can be together and perform, you know, but we make it work when we are apart.
And what are the faults in your relationship and in your personality? I'm trying to just get to a really dramatic point so that I can hit this.
Somewhere between psychotic and iconic.
Oof.
Somewhere between I want it and I got it.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I started playing not copyright free. I started playing copywritten music by mistake. And I need to stop acknowledging it because no one says anything.
Does anyone say anything?
No. So now I'm playing smaller time people's covers of music.
Yeah.
But this is a Drake cover by Sydney.
Somewhere between I'm sober and I'm lifted.
Oh, yeah. What about sober? People are sober in comedy now. Sometimes I'm thinking people that are sober in comedy are doing so well. Do I do sober or no?
I don't know. I think that there are certain people that have like addictive personalities. And so when they take their focus off of alcohol or drugs or anything else like that, they funnel it all into their work.
Yes.
They achieve a lot.
Yes.
But they're also constantly like, some people you see are like, it's like they're running on a like gerbil wheel or whatever.
Yes. Okay. So what about the gerbil wheel, and how do you feel about, because honestly, I sometimes see gerbil wheel and I say, whoa, I should do gerbil wheel, but then I don't want to do gerbil wheel.
Yeah. And so, well, I mean, and like without naming names or anything, like you see some
name
people,
them.
Like, but you see some people who like are doing that and they're like focusing and like getting stuff. But then like the minute that thing's over, they're like not happy anymore. Like they need the next thing. It's
yes.
the same thing as like drugs and alcohol. Like
yeah.
you need the next fix, you know? So
yeah.
I can't say if you went sober, you'd have the same reaction if you don't actually have a chemical dependency. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that's like certain people.
Yes. Yes.
But,
okay. That's a good
But at
advice.
The same time, like I've certainly in my, like, as I'm getting older, trying to like cut back drinking, like,
just it feels good to make
every
decisions.
Single night, you know?
Yeah, because exactly. it's easy in comedy. Oftentimes, guys, if you're just a mere mortal listening to this podcast, sometimes in comedy, we get paid in drink tickets. Actually, all
Most
the time in New York comedy, you get
yeah.
paid. So if you come to New York and you see, like, even if you go to, like, the Cellar, not that they get paid in drink tickets, but you get, like, $20 a set. People are just doing this to do it, to build it, to get stronger, to mm-hmm. then do other things.
I'm doing it for the drinks, so.
Kara, on the other hand, is doing it to get wasted.
For the drinks. No, I mean, that's the hard part.
And we just gave her a bottle of water for this podcast, so it's really any drink.
Yeah, really. As long as I'm, you know, I'm staying hydrated.
Somewhere between you and all your bitches, but I stay down. Boy, you know I stay down. Get down, never lay down. Promise to break everybody up before I break down.
That's what I sing to all my haters.
Dude,
I'm like, you
this
bitches
is
better
good.
Stand down.
This is, that's Sydney with Drake cover of the furthest.
Sabrina Jalise bringing you a podcast, discovering new artists.
Discovering new artists using their lyrics to ask questions that cut to the deep. Today's podcast is brought to you by cuttothedeep.com. Cuttothedeep.com. If you want to cut there, go get the. Hey, nah. See, some people would even delete that. I have too much saliva in my mouth is one thing that I know is a problem.
Oh, and you're drinking water, so it's like you're adding extra saliva.
Yeah.
You're adding extra moisture.
We all have our weaknesses.
In your mouth hole. Mm.
So then it seems like you have an understanding of, in this crazy world of comedy, how, like, what you want to put in, what you want to get out, and what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Oh, I mean, geez, I don't know. I don't know what made you think I knew what I was talking about.
Well, because
about.
You saw, like, from when you were saying you see people that are obsessed with getting things, they get something. Once it's over, they're unhappy. They need another thing. So it's almost like an addiction. That seems like you have some self-awareness about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to, like, and this is very recent, like, in the past few months, I'm just really trying to, like, I know it sounds, like, so power of now-y and, like, yoga, but, like, I'm just really trying to, like, eyes on my own paper, like, focus on the stuff I'm doing, not try to be, like, who's getting what and why not and why are they getting that? They're not as good as me and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That stuff, I've done that for years, and it, like, it'll eat you up, like,
yes.
And it sucks, and I feel like I'm much happier when I kind of try to let that go, and Jared is trying to do that too, and you know, I think we're trying to help each other sort of just be more positive. And I know people are
because
like, oh, well,
garbage.
Fuck you, comedy's negative, you gotta be edgy, you gotta hate on people. And I'm like, oh, I certainly could still sit down with you and talk to you about how much I fucking hate Sabrina Jalise, but I'm just trying to, like,
everyone just wait now, so much on my plate now.
I'm trying
so much hate on my plate.
To be, like, more positive. So, like, in terms of, and, like, I'm just trying to, like, work and get up and get people to think I'm funny and, you know, get, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that that's, well, that's where everyone should, that, it's not, like, something to preface and be like, oh, this is, like, stupid yoga stuff. No, like, that doesn't, being a negative person doesn't help you thrive in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
If the negativity is what fuels you, just the way we were talking about people that are on hamster wheel, the fear of not having that next thing fuels them. Obviously the most positive thing to fuel you would be just the desire to get better and stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's comedians I see and I'm just like, I'd like to be at that good. I'd like to be, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
not that you want to copy anyone, but. I don't know. You're like, when I first started, I was like, I'm good. I'm just good.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
you just
yeah.
like see other people and you're yeah. like, oh my God, I'm like so not even there close to
that. Was
yet.
Like a huge,
you know,
like, fuck, what a horrible realization when I moved here from Toronto. And I'd been like, I booked things in Canada. I was doing very well. But coming here and having that realization of like, oh no, you ain't shit.
Right. That's what New York will do. And I think that's why this is a great place to do stand up or to start or to even come to after you're like in a smaller market. I don't know how big Toronto is, but like
Toronto's the biggest city in Canada, but Canada as
I mean,
well, the country
comedy wise though.
Comedy wise it's big. So that's
it's a
where
big
you go.
Scene?
Yeah, because that's where you'll also go like the support the industry is there. You'll go out and auditions in Toronto.
Okay.
Vancouver as well on the West Coast, but Toronto
gotcha.
In general is where I think all roads lead to the same way in the States. It's New York.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's got a great comedy scene. It's not to say, and there's also comics that the other thing is I just didn't have to, I guess there is a part of me that works as hard as I have to. And I feel shitty admitting that, but that's true. I work in school too. Like if I worked as hard, but as hard as I had to get an A, as hard as I had
right.
to be good.
Right.
So as long as so I there wasn't really the need for me to write as much. There was also a weird thing where I was out in my life and not out on stage in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I hosted a kids show and I kind of
right.
used that as like a reason not to, you know.
And that's hard because like you're never going to like advance to like the highest level that you want to if you're like not really talking about your yourself totally,
yes.
Which I still struggle with too. Like I don't always talk about personal stuff on stage or whatever. I sometimes try to like just hide behind just general observation comedy.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that too. Not in the same way, obviously, as like being out.
No
like,
one struggles the way I struggle. So you come up with premises that are personal, but then you think, oh, that's a little too personal.
Well, yeah, I mean, my notebook or my phone notes or whatever are filled with like, oh, I should talk about this time that this happened, like with my family or whatever. But then I just haven't really delved into that much. So that's kind of like an upcoming goal for like all the new stuff I'm writing. I'm going to try to write like a lot more stuff that's like about me specifically and like grow my background and stuff.
Cool. Yeah. That's also another interesting thing is to just looking at your comedy and being honest and being like, and then also, and having goals about what you want to talk about. My best friend is Mae Martin and she lives in England and she also actually just recorded an album. And on the album, now she's about to release and she's like, dude, fuck, like I said all this shit about my mom and I'm in England and her mom lives in Canada. And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's so scary. And like, you have to do it. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but Jared's had some of that happen. And you just have to, it took a lot for him to just like do his full act, like in front of his parents and be like, take it or leave it. And there's comedians that I know that he and I both know that are just like, oh, our parents just don't listen to our stuff. Like our family just doesn't listen to it. And so that could be your option, I guess, but it depends on what kind of family you have. So I don't know. Yeah, that's to me, like the brave thing to do is like talk about that shit that's like your parents are going to get mad at you for.
Yeah.
You also don't want to like start a rift in someone's family. I don't want to be like.
I think it's also a matter of like getting some understanding on their part. I know with my in-laws, I had like a big problem where I think I may even have been on my way to do your show. But I got a phone call from my mother-in-law that said, you know, that my father-in-law had seen a joke online. It was like some clip from Cabin. And in the clip, and I was like very defensive at first, and then I was very apologetic.
Were you talking about him specifically in the clip?
Yeah, I was talking about him. I was talking about a joke where he was telling me that he didn't believe in gay marriage. Okay. We were hunting, and he told that to me, but he's also very accepting and very sweet. And the problem was that when I did it on stage, I kind of painted him, like the version of him was like very cartoonishly dumb.
Yeah, but that's like what we do. I think also people need to understand that too. Like I do a joke about a friend of mine who said something to me. I do this long joke that paints her like a total snob and like a total idiot.
Yeah,
like that's
not
her. And she's seen me do the joke and I'm like, you know that I just took that nugget and I blew it up into something bigger because otherwise it's not funny.
Yeah.
And so everything has like truth to it, but you have to like paint some crazy colors on it or it's boring, you know? So that's a little hard too. Like I try to tell my parents like, it's not real or it's like about you, but it's like, it's very exaggerated.
Yeah, like my parents grew up on it. So since I started doing stand up, I was like, my dad's an idiot, talks like this. And my dad's like there, you know.
Yeah, they should know how you feel about them for real and that you're not like.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was about communicating around that. Now though, I'm kind of like I definitely am just more wary about when it comes to them protecting the relationship, but also knowing that there are jokes about them that are like, those are strong jokes that I'm gonna do, like they're gonna see them.
And it's like, yeah, you could change those to be like, my coworker said this, but it doesn't make it as strong.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more funny coming from like your future father-in-law. Or
exactly.
So
it's like Sydney says. Now what they gotta say now, nothing they can say now. Nothing's really changed, but still they look at me away now.
Is she
Why
somebody?
Does Sydney know exactly what we're talking about
is
and
she
always
somebody on YouTube?
No.
Is she like a big star? Like,
well, there's 244,000 hits on this video.
Oh, that's not that bad.
I think you guys should check it out. Sydney the first thing. Today's episode of My Sexy Podcast is brought to you by Sydney. Sydney, the furthest thing. A clip on YouTube, a clip in my heart. Extra
so much saliva.
Okay, so we've got it figured out, right? Do I say out like a Canadian or like an American now? out.
That sounds like an American thing.
Got that ironed out. I'm going to actually be teaching a workshop. Guys, in Toronto, I'm going to be teaching a workshop, a comedy workshop, on July 28th at Comedy Bar. Also, I'm going to be at the Flying Beaver on August.
Oh, my God.
Second.
Are you making a joke?
First.
Or is that
no,
a name
it's
of
really
a real place?
Flying Beaver, yeah. It's the name of a real place.
Is it a lesbian
it's
bar?
Not, it's owned by lesbians.
Nice.
I don't think they meant to make it like a vagina reference.
Oh, my
but
God.
I think it...
Do you know I'm going to 3 lesbian weddings this summer?
3?
Well, I've already gone to 1. I have another one in August where I'm actually marrying them. It's my best friend and her future wife. And I'm going to another one in September taking
Wait,
place on my birthday.
Why do lesbians love you?
I don't know. And here's the thing. I went to an all-girl summer camp, so everybody always assumes like, oh, these are like your camp friends. And I'm like, no. Of these weddings, the first one was college, the second one was high school, and the third one is camp. So it's like
Kara Clank
Jared always says, he's like,
mine
you,
for lesbians.
He's like, you
and
have way more lesbian friends than the average person. And I'm like, I know, but it's like not like I was never a part-time lesbian or anything.
Kara,
like,
we dated. Very
Sabrina, you
briefly.
Promised that was the one thing we weren't going to bring up.
Drama. What more can I say now? What more can I say? Thing from perfect, like everyone I know. I still been drinking on the low. You ever drink on the low?
No, I drink way out. I would drink way out there in way the dope.
Bopping on the low. What about bopping?
Oh, I bop on the low. Yeah.
What would you think? What do you think she means by bop? Or what do you think Drake means by bopping?
I don't.
Well, God, that's not
I
a very
know.
Good
that
question.
Could be like
Sorry.
Anything.
You know, really what I want to get from you is like, what are your feelings in the world? What are you passionately feeling on the underneath? That's all I ever want in every conversation.
All right. I like that you just come out there and ask for it. You're like, could you just bury deep
no, but
into
like,
your
isn't
soul
that
right
kind
now?
Of, but isn't that like when you sit next to someone on an airplane and you start talking, isn't that kind of what you want? You want, like, the real shit.
I guess. I try to, like, put up a wall between me and the person next to me on the airplane.
What if that person buys you a drink? That's my tactic.
Ooh, hello.
You get the whole
story. Wow, are you, like, a roving reporter? You just, like, try to meet random strangers all the time?
Constantly emotionally hooking up with strangers. No, I mean, like, actually, someone that I met on a plane is coming to my show tonight.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he used to be a world champion boxer.
Wow.
Yeah, coming to my show. From planes to shows.
I've had a couple of things like that happen. I had someone gave me an eye exam, and then I gave her my flyer for my show, and she came to my show.
She's a lesbian, Kara.
2 nights later. Probably.
Probably.
Statistically, I'm going to her wedding in 2 summers.
Ladies that look at eyes also look at... Gotta stop using this girl as a crutch. Gotta look up different clips. Do you have summer plans?
Well, I've been around a little bit.
Been planning to live.
Been a little bit around New England.
That's like a question that happens in the summer. Got summer plans? What's your summer about?
Summer plans? I mean, it's like, what are we like still in school? And yeah. Everybody off?
Everything like, ends at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
But you're going to squeeze in before you got to go back to English
But
class.
I really do kind of still have that mentality where I'm like, it's summer. What are we doing? What are our plans?
What do we get
like,
up to?
Every weekend gets kind of like taken up. Well, I have... some family obligations because my little brother just got back from 9 months in Kuwait with the U.S. military.
I saw that on your...
So, yeah.
Your brother served in the fighting?
No. Kuwait has, like, nothing going on, by the way. Like, everyone's
That's what their
like,
travel commercial says. Kuwait, we've got nothing.
Nothing going on. No, Kuwait is kind of like the waiting room to the Middle East for the military. Like I went and performed there 2 years ago for the
You did?
US for US troops. Yeah.
Sick.
And it was really cool, but we were just kind of like performing for them and they were mostly like, we just miss our families and we're bored. Like there's nothing going on in Kuwait. Not to say that there couldn't be at any moment, but he was just there for 9 months and
he's
was like
there on
bored
standby.
Out of his mind. Yeah. So now he's back. And so he'll be back.
He's there waiting for a check spot that never,
yeah, basically.
That never arrived.
Oh man, yeah. Kuwait is like waiting for the audience to get to your show.
Yeah,
and they never come.
The bringer that never comes to be.
Yeah. So I have got to do that, and then I'll be in Vermont for a little bit in August, and then yeah, a couple more weddings, and trying to plan my own wedding. I don't know.
Does sound good?
It's a pretty fun summer.
Should we be? You're producing this thing, the Jared's show.
Well, yeah, is I mean, we're pretty
is
much.
Is the future, okay, so I made this thing with Michelle Wolf a while ago called Baby Trinkets. It was a 2-episode web series. But like,
I like it.
But like, as we were doing it, I was like, oh yeah, this is the future. This is what we should be doing. Should we be doing that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, this is like what everybody says, like over and over again, you just have to be like making stuff. Like you have to be making stuff all the time. And like, I want to do a web series. Like you're already doing it with like a podcast. People like, I mean, there's more obviously, but you know, there's been a lot of successes that have come out of web series. I think there's also some really crappy web series out there that are like overrated, I think, but
let's list them.
No, I mean, there's also web series that like, first of all, I think Broad City is like one of the best television shows that's like on right now. I'm obsessed with it.
Yes.
I was lucky enough to write Punch Up for season 2.
Yes.
And I watched the web series, and the web series I enjoyed thoroughly, but I think the show like kicks it up to such another level that the web series like established the characters and the world, and the web series, like that's what the web series did, and that the TV show.
Dude, that's so cool. I didn't know you did Punch Up.
Yeah, yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I love those girls. I think they're so smart and funny.
Yeah, they're very funny.
So for example, like even if your web series isn't getting like a billion hits, but like it could still establish like a character or a world that you could then pitch as a script. You could then like show it to agents. Like there's just like so many things you can do.
So tell me about the Punch Up process.
Oh, it was just like they had you know, their episodes of season 2 written, and they just have a bunch of comedians come in and
did you do it in a room
help, yeah,
or did you,
okay. in a writer's room, like just help, you know, write
jokes,
like just help improve jokes, like add details to situations, stuff like that.
Cool. And then are they shooting the second season now?
They're probably gonna start soon.
Cool. I will be in Montreal next week with Broad City on a show called Talk of the Fest at Club Soda.
Oh, yeah.
July 22.
You're doing JFL?
Yeah.
Have you been a new face?
I have not been a new face. I've just done
the
festival like 4 times.
Because you're Canadian. That's cool.
Yeah.
And very funny, not just your national.
All my credits are because of my Canadian nationality. Let's stop fucking joking about it.
Ooh, too much bass.
Okay. As a Canadian, my biggest struggle is controlling the opportunities that are given to me for being Canadian. Canada. The land.
Cups of that rosé.
Of never-ending credits.
I wanna go home.
That was Connor Maynard with Marvin's Room. It's another Drake
just
cover.
Drake covers.
Yeah, I think we're gonna be
Connor
doing
Connor Maynard. He's like one of the. He's like a Justin Bieber kind
he
of wannabe, isn't he?
Looks like yes. He looks like Justin Bieber's face has been photocopied.
When I worked at MTV, every other day there was like a. He's the new Justin Bieber. Like there's like 80. There's a bunch of dudes out there, though, that have, like, big followings that are kind of like the new Justin Bieber.
Austin Mahoney?
Austin Mahone. Yes. There's a guy in Australia. What's his name? It's, like, Connor. No.
Austin
no, that's
Mahone?
Connor Maynard. It's a different guy who's, like, an Australian dude. And they have, like, huge followings, and like, all over the place. Yeah. Austin Mahone. His fans are called Mahomies. Deal with it.
I've dealt with it, and I've sat in his lap. So. You ready to call my mother?
Sure. Yeah, whatever. I mean,
you can ask her any questions, but she's probably just going to tell you, like it is, something about life.
This is your Swiss mom. Now, what is her qualifications to know?
She raised me, so.
All right.
She also is just, she's just like a lady that tells it like it is. I always, whenever
Hello.
I've had, hi, mommy.
Hi, Bina.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Do you miss me?
Yes, I do, as always.
My friend here, her name is Kara Clank. Can you pronounce that?
No, I can't. You didn't send me an email. You're supposed to always send me an email before.
Aparna Nancherla was on an episode and she couldn't
Karen.
Say her name.
I can say Karen.
It's Kara like Sarah.
Okay.
Hi. So nice to meet you.
Hi.
Is that your
nice
nickname is
too.
Bina?
Yeah.
My parents used to call me Bina when I was little.
No
they
way.
Call me Cara Bina.
No way.
Yeah. Not anymore. It faded
That's
away.
Funny.
Never
yeah.
fades.
My nickname faded away.
Mine lasts forever.
Mommy?
Yes, Bina.
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not. I've never been drunk in my life, so you know that.
Oh, yeah, we were kind of talking about drinking. Why have you never been drunk in your life?
My dad's the same.
Maybe they
should. Because I mean, there's no benefit in getting drunk, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
There's no benefit in smoking, and there's no benefit in getting drunk.
What about just getting a little loose?
Well, you can get loose in other ways. I think, you know, that's just an excuse to drink, really.
Well, how do you get loose?
Your mom blazes so hard.
So hard.
Whatever. You know, like as loose as you can be.
She's so high right
like
now.
Not everybody has to be loosey-goosey, right?
Okay, so the way that you get loose is by realizing not everyone has to be loosey-goosey.
Exactly.
Okay, loosey-goosey, what do you got for us?
I got for you that the other day I had to look up, the saying, we are all creatures of habit, because I didn't know whether it was habits or habit. It's actually habit, right?
What were you looking that up for?
Because I was talking to Trudy's daughter, you know, and she, you know, she was saying that Trudy didn't want to go into a nursing home. A retirement home, and
drama.
You know, I wanted to just reply to her, you know, that we are all creatures of habit and we don't like change, and once she gets used to it, she'll be fine. That's how it all started, right?
Okay.
So then I came to that website that this psychologist from the University of Guelph has. He's got a blog about habits. It's quite interesting. He's saying that we have hundreds of habits. We don't even know that we have them, and they help us actually in daily life, because when something becomes a habit, you don't really have to think about it. You just do it. It's like, you know, I remember when the law came out that you felt, and, you know, you had to really think about it every time, and now nobody thinks about it. It's just second nature, right?
And that's an example of being able to change your habits late in the game. Old doggy doggy, new tricksy.
Well, he's actually saying it's not that easy to change your habits. It's not that easy to form new habits. But his suggestion is, and it kind of makes sense, is that if you want to make something new a habit, like let's say you want to make daily exercise a habit, attach it to a habit that you already have. Let's say if you
like
take
daily
a shower
smoking
every
crack.
Morning or every evening, make it a rule that before or after you do your exercise, you have your, you know, shower. This way
that sounds like a quick way to make you stop showering.
But then when I was on that website, you know, I clicked on a button on there, and I got on a website that, you know, had all kinds of motivational, you know, things. And
so you were taking a bit of a cruise on the internet?
I find it just, you know, fascinating sometimes where you end up. Because I ended up, actually,
porn.
I ended up on a website for Calvin Coolidge. Do you know who's Calvin Coolidge? I didn't know who was Calvin
Isn't
Coolidge.
He on RedTube.com?
Does anyone there know who is Calvin Coolidge?
Yeah,
does anyone know Calvin Coolidge?
Was he not a president? No.
Wasn't he the second president of the United States?
No, not the second president, but was he a politician?
He was the 30th.
He was the president.
30th president.
Karen, you.
Well, I mean, I am American.
I didn't know, so I had to look him up, so that's where I am now. But
okay.
Anyways,
what did he do?
On that,
shower?
Know, on that thing of encouragements, it's a very good thing. It's really, they can help you a lot, you know.
But wait, did Calvin Coolidge say something?
Yeah, he's saying, well, actually, if you Google him, it also will come up Calvin Coolidge quotes. He has a lot of quotes, but one of them that's on here is, press on, nothing can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Perseverance and determination alone are omnipotent.
That's interesting.
But remember I was telling you too, when written in Chinese, the word crisis is composed of two characters. One represents danger and the other represents opportunity.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then, apparently Albert Einstein said, in the middle of every difficulty lies opportunity, which is kind of the same thing.
Well, here's my question, because, you know, with the back to the Calvin Coolidge thing, you see in stand-up, you see like a lot of people that are like hitting it hard and they're going out and they're trying, but like,
yeah.
And they are persistent, but maybe like the talent's just not there. And you think that like, if you just keep going, you'll be successful, even if you don't have the talent?
Well, I guess you need a little bit of talent, you know, or intelligence or whatever you're going to do, you need a little bit too. But I think perseverance and determination will be more important than that.
Okay.
Because, you know, you hear of people that you went to school with and they became doctors or lawyers, and you think, well, they were not really that good at school, right?
But they were all delinquents.
They had the perseverance and the determination, you know.
Mom, do you think we have the perseverance and determination?
I think you do have it, yes. I mean, you're chugging along, right?
She's persevering through getting us through these Drake covers.
Vietna, can I tell you a few more of these things?
Honey, of course you can. We'll cut it out.
Okay. Life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it.
Woo! Okay? The good old way to get someone to stop beating people.
Fall 7 times and stand up 8. Okay?
Stand up comedy
8? This one here I find very, very interesting. Dina.
Oh, this
when
one.
When one door closes.
Wait, mommy. Okay. Let me lead into it. Juicy, interesting. Okay, go.
Okay. When one door closes, another door opens. But we so often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the ones which open for us. That's an interesting one, right?
Yeah, that's good.
That is good.
That's what I always think. Like when you have a rejection or something doesn't work out, I'm always like, well, that's because it had to make room for something else good to happen. I cry instead.
Yeah. Alternatively, I cry.
She cries and tries to throw herself through the closed door.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
I try to lose enough weight to just slip through that crack.
That's really the key to it all.
This one here is a good one here, okay?
Mom?
Talent is cheaper than table salt. Listen to this. Talent is cheaper than table salt. What separates the talented individual from the successful one is a lot of hard work. Kind of goes back to perseverance.
My mom raised me on the importance of not being talented.
Yeah, this is the chicken soup for the...
Not talented soul.
Chicken soup for the not talented soul.
Mommy, you have done it again. You've brought so much great content. Yet again, you've been the only prepared person at this table. And yet again, you've persevered. Ladies and gentlemen, Ursula Fry, the Chinese proverb for you don't need talent.
Okay. All right. Bye, Bina.
All right. Love you very much.
Nice to meet you.
Love you.
Bye.
Nice to meet you, too. Uh-huh. Bye. Bye. Love you.
One more thing to say.
And one more thing.
And she's like, and also talent means nothing.
Connor Maynard once said,
woman that I would try is happy with a good guy.
Is this every show that you do these musical interludes, or is it just like you find that you and I don't have enough to say to each other?
No. I find that I have nothing to say to you. B, I like it. I like little music.
You like want to be a DJ.
I would love to be a DJ.
Oh, my God. You love going juicy. So you're like, you could be a one-woman, like, morning radio zoo DJ.
But I just don't have the table salt for that.
Stone cold. If Kara likes Sarah. Don't you know you are my heartache?